Lord, how we thank you and we bless you, Lord, because there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. We're so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us, Lord. Make it plain so that we can go out and we can actually live what your word says. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as we try our best to navigate through a dark, broken, fallen, decaying world. We need the light of your word to guide us each and every step of the way. Speak to us now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, family, I just want to remind us, as we've been studying this year, we've been going through different themes and bouncing around, but it has been the new and the old, which has kind of led us to prayer. Remember, you still should be going through the Proverbs today. Today is the 11th, so read Proverbs 11. So for our visitors and those of you who are visiting, and we read the Proverbs daily. We allow the Proverbs to replace the horoscope, the lottery tickets, and the fortune cookie. So we don't have to guess what God is doing. It comes right out of his word. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so then, family, I've challenged us to add 1 Corinthians 13, some part of that, so we know how to love even when we're not lovable. We should be meditating on that daily. And then one of the prayers, either the prayer from David in Psalms 18, Daniel chapter 9, the Lord's Prayer, which is in Matthew 6. And then here's Nehemiah's prayer in chapter 1. And then Luke 18 and 1, where it tells us we're to pray and not faint. And that word pray in Luke 18 means to pray and to worship. So, men, it says we're to pray and worship and not fall apart. Right. Amen? Amen. So those are all the things we're trying to do so we stay strong every day. The easiest time to be strong is between 9 a.m. and 10:30 on Sunday mornings. I got it then. I'm good. Praise the Lord, y'all. Hallelujah. I'm living right. The challenge comes when we leave here. This is the easiest time to be right. I thank God for it. I think I have an easy time to be right. Amen. So here we go. And what am I doing? Chris, did I put my glasses away? Wow. I put my glasses away. And Clarence and Tommy just had a birthday. My birthday is next month. But I'm getting up there. Woo! Okay. So, right, Sister Tar? All right. I couldn't see nothing. All right. Nehemiah 1 and 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalai, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan in the palace. We made a note that Nehemiah is in the palace. He has it made, but when he realizes that his people don't have it made, he realized he hasn't made it anywhere. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left in captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So Nehemiah realizes that the people are in bad shape. And we'll read as we go on how he gets permission from the king to rebuild the wall. It took him 52 days to rebuild the wall, which even the enemies have to recognize was quite an accomplishment. Couldn't have been done without God. But it took decades to rebuild the people. So we talked about how it's easy to build stuff, but it's so hard to build your life. It's sort of like we get dressed up for church. It's easy to put on this suit, but it's so hard to live for God during the week. So it's so easy to build stuff, to participate in sports and music. It's so easy to do that. But it's so hard day to day to build our life. It's what we call in some circles, we call it a public success and a private failure. To everybody around me, I got it going on, but behind closed doors, I'm jacked up. We see it in entertainment all the time. We see it with our athletes. We see it in ministry, unfortunately. But it's so hard to live this thing and do it right, but it's easy to get dressed up and put on the front. So make a note, men, we never want to be the public success and the private failure. Men, we don't want to be that. That's what we don't want to be. Look at verse 3 again. Let's focus just a little bit in on verse 3. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province of are in great affliction. They're in great distress. They're depressed. They're desolate and despondent, and they are it's a shame. That's what the word reproach means. People are jacked up. And we realize that if we call ourselves Christians, which we are, and we know people that are hurting, and it's we've never made it until we bring everybody with us. We've never made it until we're out ministering to our family and our friends and our loved ones and our kids and our grandkids. I can't sit back in the palace and say I got it all together while my people are out living in sin and living less than what God has for them. So we always have to be mindful of that. That's why immediately in verse 5, you see Nehemiah goes into prayer and starts begging God on behalf of the people. But before we get there, I was kind of intrigued by the affliction, and it sent me over to turn. And Natalie, take us over to Psalms 119:72. Y'all didn't even know Psalms went that high, did you? You know you're in trouble when the pastor say turn to Genesis and he can't find it, all right? But yes, there are at least 119 psalms in it. And then look at 72, Psalms 119 and 72. Look what David says. David says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. That's not a popular message, but David says it is good. So I looked up the word afflicted to make sure that it meant the same thing, that when the people were afflicted in Nehemiah, yes, it is the same word. They were afflicted, depressed, stressed out, despondent, desolate. And David said it was good for me that I was stressed out and despondent and desolate. So I had to break the words down. So the word good, he said it was better for me. So good means better. It also means best, and it means beautiful. It was a beautiful thing for me that I had been afflicted. Afflicted said distressed. It means humbled. It means oppressed, depressed, and mishandled. Hear what he's saying. He said it was best for me. It was beautiful that I got mishandled. And he said that I might learn, underline learn. Learn in the Hebrew, it means to teach, instruct. It means to become a teacher. And in statutes are your limits, your boundaries, your prescription, and your decrees. So David is saying, it was beautiful for me that I got mishandled, oppressed, and depressed because now I can teach your word. Well, if you ain't been through nothing, it's hard to tell somebody how to get through something. Somebody say amen. Amen. David said, the best thing that happened to me, that I got humbled. So now I'm able to teach your prescription. Verse 72, he says, the law of your mouth, the word of your mouth, the precepts of your mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The law is in the Torah. He's speaking of the Torah, or God's word. God's word, the word of your mouth is better unto me than thousands of. And the gold was precious metals, and the silver was money. The translation. So God's word, the word of God, is better for me than thousands of precious metals and money. It is good. It was the best thing that happened to me that I got humbled so I can teach others. I found out that your word is better than precious metals and money. It's good that I got afflicted. Same word, affliction. And so God uses sometimes, we talked about in the men's meeting yesterday, how God uses situations to teach us. So when things go wrong in your life or things go up and down, there's three things going on. Either Satan's on your tail, Satan's trying to get you jacked up. But if you're already working for him, trust me, it ain't him. Okay? Some people blame the devil. He's like, you right where I want you. I ain't gonna mess with you. I'm gonna try and leave you alone so you can keep doing your own thing. So when things are three things, it's either Satan, it's either the sin that we just choose to stay in, or is God afflicting us, saying, I need. Remember, we read the other week how we're the clay in God's the potter, and he said he had to squeeze it. So God's sometimes squeezing us so we can look more like him. And it hurts when you get squeezed. That's why he said, it's good that I got squoze by or squeeze. Is squoze a word? Where my educator's at? Dr. Taylor, is squoze a word? Dr. Taylor, is squoze a word? It is. Okay, then I got him from the doctor, all right? Squoze. You an educator, Moody. It is today? It is today. All right. There you go. We got it. Pastor Manny, is it? We always get putting Pastor Manny. Pastor Manny, what you got to say? See, because God says when he afflicts us, it causes us because God is truly in our heart. And we can only go so far before we go, God, okay, God, I give up. Because God said, if I would let you slide, then you'd slide right to hell. The last thing we should want God to do is let us slide with something. Just slide right on out the door, right to hell. That's why I said, man, the best thing that happened to me was I got afflicted. I got humbled. The best thing happened to me is I got mishandled. Those of us who were kind of riding high before 2008 hit, somebody say amen. Wow. Yeah, it's, yeah. Amen. But I remember we were my wife and I and John, we're working with John. We're doing some things. We're investing in real estate and we had properties and we're doing things in 2008 hit. And you kind of lose. You don't lose everything because you still got God. That was the only thing you had left but God. And then you find out who you really are. Yes. Yes. Or am I just following Jesus because he can feed me? You know, like when he fed them to 5,000 with what, over 5,000 people with what was it, two fish and five loaves of bread. And then when he went across to the other side, they were following him just to get another meal. I'm going to hang out with that. He going to provide some food for me. I don't want to care. I don't really care what he's talking about. But even when he passed out that food, I'm going to be in line. So you kind of find out when you lose everything except for God, then you realize, and the people, I'm so glad that year is over. I say, you know what? That was one of my best years. Because I got so close to God, then I realized that God is not about stuff and God is not in the stuff. It was the best thing that happened because I learned how to teach others that God is real, whether you're in the palace or whether you're in the basement or whether you're in the pit or the prison, which we found out with Joseph yesterday. When Joseph went to prison, said God was still with him in the prison. Amen. And you say, how it doesn't look anything like my dream, but God was still there. What was about 10 years in the prison. Don't look like the dream God showed me, but God is still there with you. It was the best thing that happened to me. Oh, how to serve others and feel for others and say, well, you don't know what people have gone through. And I can guarantee you this, everything that you've gone through is to help someone else. It's not for you to sit and cry about. It's for you to help somebody else to get them through it. So they don't give up. So they know that God doesn't change. Don't sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. We're thankful because God got us through and now we can help somebody else. David said it was the best thing for me to get humbled and mishandled. I can teach others now that God is real. It's a beautiful thing, ain't it? All right, let's go on back. Let's finish this up. Let's go back to Nehemiah. It's good, Nehemiah. Let's go to chapter 4. Verse 4, I'm sorry. 1 and 4. Saw that the walls were in verse 3. He sees that the walls, they're afflicted. And when you look at people being afflicted, you don't understand what God is doing in their life. And how many of us have kids? How many of us ever seen a kid? Okay. And when we see our kids being afflicted and we want to jump in and we want to help, but we got to step back because we got to pray on that. God, what do I do? Sometimes it's good for them to be afflicted. So God is trying to teach them, but if we keep bailing them out. Tracy and I, we were talking about our kids. I think it was yesterday. Not you, JL, the other two, you know, because, you know, not you, JL. The other two that aren't here, we're talking about them. We, you know, it's all okay. And parents, I mean, we have to just kind of liberate ourselves because remember, in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve everything. Gave them everything, and they still chose to do their own thing. But they're still going to choose to do their own thing, and so sometimes God afflicts them, and then we want to jump in, but God says, hold up. That could be my hand that's working in their life. So we really have to pray and see what God is doing. Because it says it's a beautiful thing when I get afflicted. And they need to learn that. Only way they're going to learn it is if God takes them through that. Amen. And we're not God. We can't play Holy Spirit. We can't know what God is doing. So we got to pray and sometimes just like, no, you know, it's all right. I got this. So they're afflicted. In verse 3, and the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. Gates are burned. And we talked about it last week. Proverbs said, when you have no self-control, you're like a city with no walls and no windows. You're like a house with no doors and no windows. Elements, anything can come and go when you don't exercise the Holy Spirit of self-control. It's a bad situation to be in with no self-control, not allowing God to lead you. But here it is in verse 4. Now, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and cried. Sometimes it's okay to cry. Just sit down. Amen. Those of us that are a little older, we've been there. When we get news and all we can do is just sit down and cry. Say, God, wow. That's life, though. That's what life teaches you. So you have to be thankful every day because you're going to get that call where all you can do is just shake your head, sit down and cry. Said he mourned certain days and he fasted, but then you just don't stay there. You're praying and you're fasting and you wept, which means tears actually came out of his eyes. He was fasting and he prayed before God of heaven. He didn't go out and start getting involved in other stuff and doing his own thing and hanging out with the wrong crowd and drinking and getting laid and smoking and all. He prayed to God. He got some horrible news. It broke his heart and he got closer to God. Didn't say, my God, I'm through with you. I've been serving you and this goes wrong. And now I'm going to just do my own thing because I see you don't work. He got closer to God. He said, I beg you. Then in verse 5, he started begging God on behalf of his people. So we noted last week that we should never celebrate when we see a church or a pastor fall or something. We should never celebrate that. Represents us all as God's people. And we, God forgive us. And sometimes they deserve it. Like, man, that's what you get. But God says, no. That's part of the body. If the one part of the body is hurt, we all hurt, and we need to beg God on behalf of them. Because but by the grace of God, there goes I. Verse 5, he said, God, I'm begging you, O Lord of God, O God of heaven, the great and awesome God that keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He started begging him. And so as I'm reading this, you know, and I tell you, I got, you all know already, I have all kind of initials, OCD, ADD, I got all kind of stuff be going on with me. So I'm reading this, but what caught my eye as I was trying to get through this, which I'm still struggling to get through this, but what caught my eye was in verse 5. He said, God keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him. So then, of course, okay, God, I want you to keep covenant and mercy, but how do I know if I love you? Oh, there you go. All right. And then I actually do what you've commanded me to do. So then that took me to let's turn to John 14. Let's go to New Testament. And Jesus broke it down so I don't have to guess whether I love God or not. See, because God's made promise. This is a conditional right here. This is a conditional covenant where it's based on the promise of God. And it's based on a condition. It's the condition that you love God. Sometimes we say we love God, but then So I'm going to John 14:14, Natalie. Just make a note that when we cheat ourselves from God's best when we operate in disobedience. It's two things that either we, and especially in these days, either we live according to God's commandments or the world's standards. We're forced daily to make a choice. Am I going to live according to God's commandment or the world's standard? Did I say 14:14? All right, well, let me start at 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he's asking according to his will. Remember, it's not the genie in the bottle. It's not name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and Lord us for and no more. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the will of God. But then in verse 15, he says, if you love me, you do what I say. Amen. That's simple as that. So when I'm trying to assess, do I love God, as I go through my daily, when I reflect on last week, did I live like I actually loved God? Oh, Monday was good too. Oh wow. Wednesday, oh gosh, I got to tighten my game up. It's easy to tell if you love God. It's like our parents, we were a direct reflection of them. When we go out the house, don't embarrass me. Kids, you want to know how my youth, we got quite a few youth in here today, or youngsters in here. You love your parents by just doing what they tell you to do. That's how you show you love them. I remember I was an assistant principal and I was working at the school, and this kid's mom, she was sick, and she was, he's getting in fights. He'd been to the school. His mom been to the school like every day during the week. And she's, so I had him, I said, man, do you love mom? Yeah, of course I love my mom. Dude, you got her coming up here every day. She's not feeling well. She's about to pass out in the office. And you telling me that you love her. See, that's what God is saying. God's about to pass out saying, I'm so exhausted with you. But you tell me you love me. You ain't doing nothing. I got to come up every day and bail you out. Uh-oh, I guess that's God calling now. Saying, get it together. That's what he's saying, sister. He's saying, get it together. All right, so let's keep going. All right, let's look at verse 16. I would pray, and remember, John is always writing to show that Jesus was God in the flesh. And Jesus says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said another comforter because Jesus is also the comforter, because we know the Trinity is speaking of the Trinity in quite a few of these passages. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're one. They're different. They're the same. It's the Trinity. Okay. That's God. So Jesus said, I'm the comforter while I'm here. He's going to send you another comforter and he's going to abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. That's a tough one right there. Underline that, the Spirit of truth. That's why most people don't want to hear what you're talking about on the job, because they want to do their own thing. When that Spirit of truth comes, oh, my gosh, I don't want to hear that. Because I'm living according to the world's standards, not according to God's commandments. See, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. He's saying, I'm with you and shall be in you. And when I send the Holy Spirit, he's going to be in you. Verse 18, put Trinity on the side of that. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Wait a minute. So you're not going to, how are you going to come to me, Jesus? If we're going to leave, because he's the Holy Spirit. Speaking of the Trinity, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm coming to you. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me because I live. You should live also. Christ lives in us. And that's the true life. Remember, apart from God, we can do nothing. We're not even alive. We're zombies apart from God. We remember some of the guys, we were the best dressed zombie in the club. We were the living dead. We there, we doing our thing, we strolling, we doing it. I think I'm alive, but I'm not connected to God. I'm really dead. Best dressed zombie in the club. Yeah. It's a hard word. People don't want to hear that, but this is the word. That's why the spirit of truth comes. It breaks it down. People don't want to hear that stuff. Because I want to live according to the world. Look what it says in verse 20. It says, at that day, when we stand before God, at that day, you shall know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I in you. That we are all connected through the Holy Spirit, through God the Father, through God the Son. When we transition from here and we stand before God, oh, my God, it's true. We're all connected in this thing. At that day, we all will know. For some of us, at that day will not be a good day for them. But thank God. Verse 21, he that has my commandments, and the commandments mean my prescription. All right. If you've ever had to been prescribed medicine, you know what a prescription is. Doctor says, you take this, you do this. It's a prescription for you to live, for you to get better, for you to get well. God said his word is that prescription for you to be spiritually well, spiritually strong, spiritually alive is God's word. He that has my prescriptions and keep them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And will manifest, will reveal myself to him. Bam, there you go. So here, get the revelation out of that. All right. Let's get the revelation out of that. He says, he that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loves me. All right, so now we can assess, okay, do I follow God's prescription for my life? Break it down to a prescription. Amen? Let's make it a prescription. We've all had medicine before, right? Anybody had to take medicine? Anybody ever seen a bottle of medicine? Okay, all right. You follow the prescription so you can get well. He that follows my prescription and keep them, he it is that loves me. Okay, God, I got to follow your prescription to show you that I love you. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Why? Because we're all one. If I love God, I love the Father. And I will love him and will reveal myself to him. Now, here's the dilemma. Jesus said, when you embrace me, okay, first you love me and you embrace me. And then I will reveal things to you. All right. I will reveal my will, my plan for your life. Order your steps when you embrace me, showing me that you love me. And then I'm going to show you some things. But for us, here's the dilemma that we're in right now. I include myself. I'm saying, God, if you give me a sign, first you show me, God. It's like we're playing hide and seek. No, you show me. Show me. Big bang, take little bang. Show me what you got. 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 No, you show me. You show me. I'm saying, God, when you show me, give me a sign, then I'm going to love you and then I'm going to follow you. Guys, they don't work that way. God says, you embrace me, you love me, you follow me, and then I'm going to show you. So now I'm playing this tug of war. I'm waiting for God to show me. I'm waiting on God. God's waiting on me. I'm waiting on God. I'm going to do my own thing. God, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. God say, okay. Don't work like that. We waiting on God. God's waiting on us to embrace, to follow the prescription. And then he say, I want to show you things you ain't never seen before. If you make a note and you read Genesis, I believe it's 21, when Abraham had to offer up Isaac. Until he was sold out with that knife, until he lifted up that knife, he didn't know what was going to happen to his son. If I kill him, then God's going to resurrect him. I don't know. Until he lifted up, until he was completely sold out to God, then the angel said, hold up, look over there. Until he was completely sold out, he didn't see it. It's some things you'll never see. And we'll live a life of frustration. We'll be upset with God. But until we're completely sold out, it's just things you're not going to see. God, why would God show you anyway? Because you ain't going to do nothing about it. Okay. All right. So, it's like, you know, I already told you I got all kind of issues, right? Oh, ADD. So I'm on a computer. I'm on my laptop. I'm watching a game. I might even be talking on the phone or something like that. And then Tracy said, I need to talk to you. All right. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. She's like, no, I'm listening to what you say. Have you ever tried to talk to someone who's distracted? They don't hear what you're saying. And they need you to repeat it over and over again. God is saying, you so distracted, I can't reveal nothing to you because you're not going to hear me anyway. God is saying, why am I telling you anything? You on the computer. I'm watching the game. I'm talking to Clarence, talking to Big C. Yeah, Tracy, go ahead. What do you say? And then afterwards I go, so what were you trying to tell me? Yeah. Ain't heard nothing. So God is saying the same thing. I can't reveal nothing to you until you sold out. Till you completely looking, listening. We got eye-to-eye contact. And you still and you listening. God say, I can't tell you nothing till you completely sold out because you won't hear it. Why would he? And then you ain't going to do nothing about it anyway because you ain't even listening. You're halfway listening. Yeah. See, certain things we'll never see until we completely still and sold out. And God say, okay, now I got you. And then you can say things like, you know, it was really beautiful that I got afflicted, that I got mishandled, that I got humbled. Now I can teach others about how real God is. Let's wrap this up. Verse 22. I mean, I'm going to wrap it. I've got so much more, but we got to wrap it up because of time. But look at verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, not Judas, not the one who betrayed him, but the other Judas, said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered, said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He'll follow my prescription. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And we'll come. This is put down the Trinity again. Holy Spirit is a real person. That's why it speaks of it in Acts 5 and 3. They tell Ananias that you didn't lie to men. You lied to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. In Ephesians 4:30, it says you can grieve and stress out the Holy Spirit. So you can. It's God. It's Christ. It's living in us, and you can stress him out. You. The phone rings and the caller ID comes up. The Holy Spirit say, "Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Don't answer that." You go. Hello, the Holy Spirit, I told you not to answer that. You driving and you thinking, you know, I just need to make a quick stop. No, I need to go home. I need to go home. Holy Spirit saying, go home. No, I'm gonna just say hi. I'm gonna just do Holy Spirit saying, go home. I just want to see how they doing. I want to go home. I go, hey, how you doing? Holy Spirit, oh my God, I can't believe you stressing me out again. It's Ephesians 4:30. It says, don't stress out the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve it. It's a real person. Jesus said, we want to come live inside of you. When you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and he wants to live. He wants to be Lord. He doesn't want you just to be saved and rescued. He wants to be Lord of your life. He said, I want to come live. He said, we're going to come and we're going to live inside of you. And we stress him out and we lie to him. I'm going to get it together this time. It's Holy Spirit like, I don't even know why. Why don't you need to stop lying? Why are you always lying? Why are you always lying? You're always lying. Why are you always lying? Oh, just lying to the Holy Spirit. Y'all didn't think I heard that song, huh? You guys are too much. Verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. There you go. Nehemiah said that God has a covenant with those that love him. So I don't need to know. I need to know if I love God or not. Then Jesus says in John 14:24, he that loveth me not doesn't keep my prescription. Say, take two pills. You taking 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. You doing your own thing. He's saying, just OK. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So when we disrespect Jesus, we disrespect God. John 10:30, he says, me and my Father are one. Jesus says in 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Then verse 26, let's finish right here. And then we'll pick up the rest next week. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So through the Holy Spirit is teaching us through the word in Bible study. Let me put in a plug for Bible study. 6:30 to 8 o'clock Wednesday night. If you can make it. Remember, I'm just asking you to come once a month. You don't have to be there every Wednesday. It's hard. We have families and different things like that. But we're studying in Bible study. I just talked about in Numbers how the cloud led them by day. The presence of God, the cloud led them by day, and then the fire led them by night. Sometimes it was one day. Sometimes it was 2 days. Sometimes it was a month. They said even a year. You're talking millions of people. And when the cloud moved, they moved. It represented the presence of God. When the fire moved, even if it was at night, they had to move with it. It represented the presence of God. And so we were saying, man, if we had a cloud now that just showed where God was, man, I'd love God. I'd never fall off because I'd be able to see God. I can move with the cloud. I can move with the fire. And I would know that God is there. And Moses and those guys are looking down at us saying, if we had the word of God, if all this had been written out for us to know, we would have never questioned God. Because it was already written down for us. We saying, I wish I was like them. They saying, I wish you was. We wish we were like you. We would have never doubted. Jesus came and he wrote it all out. And it's there. And y'all read it and still don't believe it. And we say, man, these guys had the presence of God. They had a cloud. And they had fire. And it moved and they moved. Why would I ever doubt God? Just how we're wired. Being born into sin, we're wired like that. That we just, he says, he should teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. So here's God's word. So we read it and God's reminding us of who we are in God. Then he says, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. So if you're looking for it in the world, you're looking for it in the president, the president-elect, in the election, that's where your peace comes from. If he wins, if she wins, if they win, then I'm going to be all right. You need to get yourself together. Right. Need to get yourself together really fast. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Then don't let your heart be stressed out and stop being afraid. When you're in God and God is in you, you should not be stressed or afraid. Yes, we get concerned. Yes, but it ain't no fear. It ain't no about to fall apart. I was talking to one of my buddies. He said, man, I couldn't even sleep after the election. I just couldn't believe it. Dude, and you're a Christian, dude, you are kidding me. This world, I told y'all a couple weeks ago, stop watching TV. Just peek at it and cut it off. And then get into this. Get into the Word. And youngsters, y'all get off of whatever y'all on Snapchat and Instagram and Vine. What they say, get off of Facebook and put your face in this book. What are we walking around just stressed out about if God is really in us? But that's the world's job, to get us distracted. And we want to keep us distracted. Peace I leave with you, my peace. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. That peace is the calm delight. Regardless of what goes on, we always come back to the calm delight. We get a call, then the calm delight God says, chill, I got it. I'm giving it. I got it. But did you see my bank account? I got it. Whether the bank account is big or little, I got it. But you see my kids are going to get it. I got it. Verse 28, let's finish with this again. You have heard, now I've said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. We're talking about the Trinity. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Verse 29, and now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Make a note of that. We talked about it yesterday in the men's meeting. Do we even believe what the Word said? Because if we did, then it would show in our actions how we live and what we do. Jesus said, I'm trying to let you know so when this stuff goes down, that you will believe, that you will know that I'm real. And we got to pick up the rest next week. So as we let's just pray before we dismiss. What a word. God is challenging us to live this thing. No more business as usual. I'm going to wait to January 1st and then I'm going to start fresh. God is saying, no, start fresh today. I've been complaining because I've been going through some stuff. Yes, we all have. Welcome to the club. But now I'm understanding it's a beautiful thing for me to get humbled, to even get mishandled, so that I can start teaching others that God is real, even in the midst of the mishandling and the depression and the distress. That God, you want to reveal some things to me, but if I'm not listening, you're not going to share. If I'm not obedient, obedience brings revelation. And we'll go through life, Lord, forgive us and Lord, help us. We'll go through life never tapping into what you had for us because we really didn't believe it. And we never gave you 100%. We never followed your prescription 100%. You told us take one a day and we took 10 a day. And some days we didn't take any. And we wonder why you haven't revealed to us what you have for us. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. So, Lord, I want to pray for anyone now. You say, Pastor, I appreciate the word and I hear it, but I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I've never made that first step to accept Jesus Christ into my heart so he can become my Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. If you never accepted Christ, which is what we all is step one. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to guess if you're saved. That's your first step. You get saved and then God loves you so much. He'll take you as you are. And he loves you so much that he won't leave you like that. But you got to get saved first. You got to accept Christ. And then you can become obedient and he'll show you what he has for your life. The method to reach and to teach others and to make disciples. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I was going to wait till January 1, but I'm going to do it today. I'm not going to wait. I got to get started for God on the right track today. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I got to get it together. I got to get back on track with God. Maybe you hear you're looking for a church home and you've been visiting and say, Pastor, I want to make it official today. Not that you need to, but you should be a part of a fellowship if you don't have a fellowship. And remember, we're not members, we're family. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I want to make it official, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. Lord, how we love you, my God. Your word is truth. It's a lamp. It's a light. It's the power unto salvation. It leads, guides, and directs us. Brother Moody, I saw your hand. Come on up. I want to pray with you and for you. Stand right there. Invite some of my other men to come on up, and you know how we do it. Just want to cover our brother. It's good to see our brother, my big little brother. Just lay hands on him and each other, and as he comes up for rededication, as we surround you as men, we're rededicating where all of us are rededicating our lives to you, Lord. Thank you for using Moody to get us up and say, Lord, we want to be the men that you've created us to be. We don't want to miss anything that you have for us as men, as we're leading our kids and our wives and our families, as we're the leaders on our job, at school, in the ministry. God, we as men, we don't want to miss anything that you have for us. We ask you for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord, that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, tried to pretend that didn't happen, tried to cover up. You told us if we cover our sins, we shall not progress, but if we confess and forsake, we shall have mercy. So we confess, we come clean, Lord, and we're finished. We're done with it. We're not waiting to let it go in January 1. It's done today. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we confess now and we thank you for doing what we couldn't do. We couldn't make ourselves righteous without you. We need you. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So we thank you that you shed our blood, shed your blood so our sins can be forgiven. So we lay hands on our brother and lay hands on each other. We surround him, we surround each other. To have each other's back and not to stab each other in the back. To walk with each other and not talk about each other. But be the men that you've called us to be. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How God's anointing is there and God's blessing is there. We thank you, Lord, for our brother Moody. We thank you for all these brothers. Strengthen us now. Let us live this. Let us pray for each other as we walk together, as we journey through together. We bless you, Lord, and we love you. Thank you that you're the God of many chances. Thank you for not giving up on us, Lord. Thank you for not leaving us out there. Thank you for loving us unto you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Stand to your feet. Bless you, brother. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Give somebody a hug. Tell them God bless you, and you are dismissed. Amen.